Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back. Well, last night, the U.S. women's national team faced Canada in the She Believes Cup final at Lower.com Field. Let's get into the highlights, and it would be Canada striking first. Adriana Leon puts this one away, gets it past Alyssa Nair.
Where is Alyssa Nair? Why is she at the top of the box?
Yeah, she's real far up. She's real far up there. All right, but 50th minute now.
Sophia Smith doing what she does best.
Big match for her.
I mean,
left foot, right foot, doesn't matter.
Worm burners?
That was her 17th goal for the U.S. And then 68th minute here. She does it again. Trinity Rodman puts it through to Sophia Smith, and that's her second. She gets a brace in this one.
Trinity Rodman, who had come on 4 minutes before for Alex Morgan.
Let's go, 85th minute here. Oh, yeah, that's a pen.
Gets taken down.
Yeah, it's that.
That's a pen.
Elbow, that forearm in the back.
But Saka's isn't.
Adriana Leon gets it
done. The late equalizer, and we are all even at 2 goals apiece, so this one ends up going to PKs. And how about Alyssa Nair?
Yes.
Coming up huge. Emily Fox puts this one away and wins it for the U.S. They are the She Believes Cup champions. A big win ahead of what's going to be a big summer for the U.S. women as they look ahead to Paris and the Olympics. And for more on this result, we are absolutely thrilled to welcome in our good friend Jenny Chu. Good morning, Jenny. How are you?
Good morning. I am so well. I just heard you guys' whole argument about Bukayo Saka and the penalty, and I was very entertained but very stressed out. I thought, you know what? I don't miss that part. Stress aspect.
Honestly, the vibes are just, everyone's really, really anxious energy over here this morning, Jenny. So let's calm things down and talk about a really positive result for the U.S. women. What was your initial reaction to the game that they played last night and ultimately getting the win?
Well, I think the biggest thing is that, again, they concede first, right? In the Japan game, they concede in the first minute of the game. And then here, they concede in the 40th minute. And then that's something that we want to talk about is the fact that they were able to rally back. I think Adriana Leon has the goal. She's a great goal scorer. And then she also draws the penalty kick against Crystal Dunn, something that you guys talked about, the penalty. And it's good stuff from Canada in that aspect. But I think that, you know, some players are now getting chosen to be phased out and maybe other players have shown themselves as needing to be on this Olympic roster. So it, with everything, I think thinking forward, 4 games left when Emma Hayes comes in and takes reign, I think we saw a lot from the She Believes Cup, and some people should be on this roster and some people shouldn't. And I think that that's the biggest takeaway.
Jenny, focusing on the U.S. perspective, in the first half, Twyla went back to the 4-3-3, a 4-3-3 that didn't work so well at the World Cup. And when we were talking about into the lead up to this game after the semifinal, She Believes Cup, we felt that the midfield, they found it. It was almost set, right? The 4-3-3 doesn't work. She adjusts, goes back to having two midfielders, puts in Mallory Swanson, and brings back Jaden Shaw a little bit. Why do you think the U.S. is a little bit still married to this 4-3-3 that hasn't paid dividends? Or is the adjustment at the end of the day a recognition of Twyla that, yes, there's some players that, you know, we're trying to move past this stage?
It's interesting. So when we talk about this game specifically, Nico, Sam Coffey and Emily Sonnet were in the double pivot and it didn't work. So we saw Sam Coffey in the game against Japan and we thought, wow, she's amazing. She has so many qualities that we need on this national team. This match, not the same thing. Her in the double pivot with Emily Sonnet did not work. Later on, Lindsay Horan drops into that double pivot and Jaden Shaw goes into the 10 position and a little bit better, right? I think that that's something that Canada wanted. They wanted to make sure that they shut down Sam Coffey, but it was very obvious that that was not the situation that needed to be done. Now, how do they change that? You talk about knowing that after the World Cup, they needed to change some things. I think we have seen a lot of fluctuation, a lot of willingness to change formation, whether or not they came out with the right lineup in this instance. It was always going to be tough against Canada. But I think that they now have more and different players to turn from. We talk about that World Cup team, very different players coming into this roster here. So I think that that's the biggest talking point is, yeah, they've been trying different things and maybe this wasn't the way to start the game.
Jenny, I want to know from your point of view, and this is a conversation that we've had on this desk before, and you kind of alluded to it, the changing of the guard a bit, in particular, Alex Morgan. What are you seeing from Alex Morgan under what we assume will be Emma Hayes's tactics, or at least thought process? What are you seeing from an Alex Morgan, and how do you think she can help the team in big competitions coming up?
You know, it's interesting because we saw in the W Gold Cup that she comes up big in big moments. I think it was the match against Colombia where it was very obvious that, was it Colombia, Costa Rica? I can't remember. But basically, it's very obvious that they needed her in the physical aspect, right? She completely distracted their defense and was a very important player. But then you talk about her performance in the She Believes Cup, and you're starting to see different combinations of the young players that are working together, that they understand how they're supposed to move together, how they're supposed to pass together. And she's just not part of that. She seems a little bit lost. She seems like she's not making the same runs and understanding the runs that other people are making. And we saw it across both games, right? She got a lot of time. She got both starts. And it wasn't really flowing with the players that she has there. So I think that that was a big eye-opening experience for me. It was the combination between Mal Swanson, Shaw, Trinity Rodman, and Soph Smith is the future. And I don't think that it's smart to continue to stay on this page just because they have fresh energy and they're bursting at the seams and they want to play together. And you can see that they have the ability to combine, and we're not seeing those combinations with Alex Morgan. Does she bring a goal scoring ability that we don't want to forget about? Absolutely. But when you think about this Olympic roster, you're going down to 16 field players. And if you take a look at the forwards, for me, Alex Morgan is the one that's out.
Interesting. Very interesting. I would have had her in, but definitely agree with you on some fronts in that statement. I want to talk about Jaden Shaw. Another goal involvement, again, you've been very high on her from the beginning about players getting chances, new generation, new attitude, and added goals. What's her best position? Because we saw her play in the midfield in the semifinal, creating, getting goals. We see her playing further forward. We've seen her play centrally. We've seen her play out wide. But what's her best position to get the best out of her?
Michael Lahoud, I love the question because it's absolutely the right one. Where do we see her? Talking about this Olympic roster, you need versatility. She has shown that she has that. Where do I prefer her as the number 10? I think that at the number 10, you see her strength. You see the ability to get on both sides of the ball. This was the game when I saw her cover the most ground defensively than I had seen her done so before with the U.S. Women's National Team specifically. But in club play, when she plays for the San Diego Wave, she is playing as the number 10. So that's where she's getting the reps in. Does she have the ability to play the wide areas? Yes. But I think that you're missing out on something absolutely amazing if you're not playing her as the number 10. I think that Lindsey Horan has played that position for a long period of time. And we can see that she can drop into that eight spot or that double pivot and do well as well. So for me, she's the 10, Michael LaHoud. I think that that kind of skill, that kind of vision, that kind of execution, you have to have her on the field as a number 10.
Jennifer.
Mándame.
Next camp is Emma Hayes, right?
Yes.
Give me a grade for Twyla Kilgore in her interim ship.
A grade. Is it too positive to say A-? I really appreciated everything that she brought to the table. I think that it's kind of tough for her to be in the situation where now Emma Hayes takes over as the head coach after she has done such a great job as interim. Right? What a difficult position to be in, to know that you're going to be replaced at some point. But she has taken it in stride. She has grown so much. The relationships that she has with the players, the way that this team had such a, you know, certain mentality post-World Cup, right? They could be completely defeated, feeling pretty bad for themselves, considering where they had been and then their performance in the World Cup. She came in a very difficult time, and look at where this team has gone. In that small period of time, understanding that Emma Hayes was coming in, I think that, you know, the partnership must have worked really well. I'm not sure how much Emma Hayes' influence was on the tactics in-game, right? I know that they talk outside of the games, but I think she's done an incredible job, and I would be hard-pressed to, you know, not see her get picked up by another head coaching squad. I do think that...
You don't think she'll continue as an assistant?
She is supposed to continue as the assistant, but she's going to get offers. I would be super surprised if she's not getting offers to be head coach somewhere, because she proved that she can be that lead person and make big decisions and for it to be successful.
You were a little bit more generous than I would have been.
Generous. This should be
yeah.
podcast.
Thank you.
Jenny Chu, I have a quick question for you. As of yes. March 15th, the last time they adjusted the rankings, U.S. women's national team has dropped to fourth place in the FIFA rankings behind Spain, England, and France. Based on this this competition, what do you think? Do you think that's a correct position for them to still be in? And what do you think they have to do to get back into the top spot?
I do think that's correct. I think the only one there that I'm wishy-washy about is France, but Spain and England are through and through the best teams for me right now. They are, I mean, we're watching the Euro qualifiers right now, and they're outstanding. In terms of the United States, what can they do to get back up? Maybe win this Olympics. I think that there you see little pieces of it coming together, right? You see the combination play between Trinity Rodman, Sophia Smith, Mal Swanson, and you're thinking, okay, this team can get back to being, you know, their winning ways. But when you think about this Spain team, I mean, they have been in that combination aspect, right? Like the amount of passes that they can interweave together and then go on goal, and the amount of different goal scores they have. I mean, the U.S. has a ways to go in that aspect, but they have the raw talent. They have the players for it. Now, how does Emma Hayes put them in a position to succeed? And I'm excited for it, honestly. Like, this is the most positive I've been. Following the W Gold Cup, you will see that I was not very positive. I was thinking, you know what? Mexico beat them. They didn't show, you know, the best stuff. The She Believes Cup, you've seen pieces coming together. And I think that that's the only way to go, right? Never-ending ascension, going on the way up.
Love it. Love the positivity. Jenny, thank you so much for taking the time. Hey, did you know tomorrow is our one-year anniversary of Galazzo Network and Morning Footy? We miss you.
Congratulations. I miss you guys. Congratulations.
You were there.
One whole
you were
year.
There from the jump.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, you guys. Much love.
We love you, Jenny. Thanks so much.
Love you, love you.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.